Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
They're zhuzhing it up a little bit. They're just not blasting that bad boy straight with cheese, you know. whatever the Italian word for zhuzh is.
Entirely unrelated to anything, but I'm always fascinated by this. Zhuzh is a Polari word, if you didn't know.
What? I did not. I thought that was just a nonsense, like almost pidgin French word.
Hmm. So Polari is pidgin Italian, sorta. It's the language that was spoken, not necessarily language, but dialect and word set that queer people, sailors, and like traveling carnival people used in like the UK and Europe in a really early period, so they could talk to each other and recognize each other as queer or sailors or performers without revealing it to other people.
That is so wild to learn, because I would have sworn up and down that it had its origins like in probably the 90s of queer culture, because it reached cultural prominence, I think, when Queer Eye hit the TV in like 2000 or whatever. But like, wow.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
I need to double check how old. I'm pretty sure 70s is kind of like the pinnacle. But stuff like scarpa, to run away, is to describe one's makeup as slap, all put Polari words. I've been fascinated by this recently, keeping an old dialect alive, I guess.
I love the history of words. It's so weird. And it's a great reason to get in arguments on the internet.
No, James, no.
And so we loop back.
It's the wrong lesson.
And that's one more hit point for Baylis.
Mm-hmm. For Baylis.
The adventures of Baylis Gell. Alone.
All right. So now, the thing that you need to evaluate next is the best Grosova garden to hit, the best time to do it. And that, I think, is going to be a roll between Jonnet and Baylis, really.
Let's do it. All right.
I suppose intellect.
Well, I will add my D8 to it. Well, I guess you're just adding a relationship with Ty with me.
Oh, bet. Yes.
I spend two and I convince a small group of debtors to go allow a violation of company policy.
And immediately applicable.
Perfect. Love it.
This is a huge thank you to Benjamin Turner, who is responsible for all of the dice modeling on both Skyjacks and Starwall. Without Ben, it would be much harder to roll these dice. We had to like basically make them by hand earlier. I think this is going to be an intellect. So, Tyler, what's your base intellect?
Intellect is 12. So three of D8.
All right. And that is going to be a positive relationship. Are you going to be adding anything to that?
No.
Roll it. Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Looking at this, I think you have run into a problem. And that problem is that because this is a technocratic work schedule and it is one that like Truss and her people have put together on every shift, like, and it's not just at every location, at every shift, there is at least one salaried employee who probably is not going to keep quiet. There are a bunch of workers who you could work with. You got two opportunities with the two failures that you received. So there is, like, you know, a majority of workers there who would, you know, maybe be able to go along with this plan. But anywhere you land is going to be a place where there is some risk of tipping off the feathers. That said, you also receive for this two fate. But yeah, there right now there is no obvious target. Anywhere that you go is going to present some level of risk, and you have to be prepared to deal with that, or, you know, come up with some kind of plan beforehand is probably going to be your best bet.
What, I guess John had asked, like, how rowdy are the workers on a day-to-day scale? Is there any way that there could be an inciting, like, fight that draws attention away from the front door and we can step in?
Well, usually we don't try to go into, like, fist fights, like, physically, because
that's right.
Hurts. But we have a robust insult language that we do with each other. There's a lot of, like, just, you know, ribbing back and forth when it comes to if we're going to get into an altercation. So there's a lot of talk. We do a lot of talk, and we can get loud.
Okay. Put a pin in that.
I mean, you were at the bar. You saw there's a lot of disturbances that don't have to be violent. They can just be a bunch of people making out in front of what's going on.
Yeah. How often are people getting touchy while on the clock?
You'd be so surprised.
Really?
You'd be so surprised.
Okay. Ooh, here's a question. Do we know the person that is going to be on shift on the side of the Red Feathers, and do they have any crimson?
Oh, I mean, it depends on the shift, but yeah. I might.
But
if not, I can always ask people and find out.
So your question is there a salaried Red Feather who has got a case of crimson?
Yeah.
I feel like with the two opportunities you rolled, that is the sort of thing that, like, yeah, you were looking for a shift where you didn't have someone. That failed, but you did get two opportunities. So that reads to me that, like, yeah, you can find somebody who does have a case of crimson but is also a salaried Red Feather employee.
Yeah. Part of me is like, all right, well, if that's the case, then maybe we can try to make that person late to their call. And we can do that by a number of ways. Let's see.
We could kidnap him.
See,
I feel like I'm always so quick to jump into kidnapping people.
And I here's the thing. Right now, we need shots on goal, and so that's not a bad idea. I guess in a perfect world,
we can detain him. We can distract him. We can make him win something.
Make him win something.
Well, you know, like, hey, congratulations. Here's a gift basket.
Uh-huh.
You must eat it within the time.
Over there.
Over there.
Yeah.
You know, we can, if it's the night before, we can just get him drunk. And then he'll be hung over the next day. That's a thing with the crimson.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah, man.
and you know, he'll try to, like, send out for someone else to cover his shift. And
mm-hmm.
I can be that runner, and that just doesn't happen.
You know, that's if we can get a mark on who is going to be on that shift that day, that night, then maybe we can get in there. We can make them late. We can make them have a great night. And so they show up late. They show up tired. And then we get
it's your birthday here. Let's go over here type thing.
How reliable is it going to be?
Not
their
really.
Birthday?
It's not really this is a birthday, but, like, look, the Red Feathers give us so few accolades.
Yeah.
If we're going to do, like, a, you know, like a flatbread party, like, you know, though they do those sometimes where they're like, Hey, thank you for working so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving you, like, the shift off or maybe some more money.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of flavored flatbreads for all of you to have.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they call those up at random. So if we want to do like, hey, there's a flatbread party for everybody.
Wait, okay. Now I like the idea.
Okay.
Because I assume the flatbread party is set off by, is put on by the workers. I wouldn't assume that the Red Feathers would make their own flatbread to serve us.
Oh, no. We're just allowed to have one.
And I maybe. Now, these are bad ideas, but maybe we can just orchestrate our own flatbread party. We go and deliver. They just go with it. And then we sneak in.
And with the four of us, there would be relief workers.
Yes.
So we show up with the resources.
Flatbread.
Flatbread party. Flatbread party. Flatbread party.
It's a weird idea. It's also not a terrible one.
Yeah, I feel like that's the most bloodless way to handle this. And if this is a common enough practice, then we could pull it off.
Oh, yeah. All the time. You know, it's kind of, we don't get a lot of rewards. Mm-hmm. So when they do allow us to reward ourselves, mm-hmm. we usually take it.
Okay. So then I guess my immediate question is, what flavors of flatbread?
Oh, man, there's so many. There's butter. There's brown butter.
And we do a George Lucas-style wipe cut. So we are wipe cutting to The Grift. And in this, I do want us to have a role, but I kind of want you to set up what the flatbread party grift is. Describe a little bit of how you are arriving to the shift. The one thing that we know that is in your favor is wherever you are going, there is a Red Feather, like, salaried employee who does have crimson. But the rest of it is, you know, mostly just workers who have, like, varying levels of able to be swayed from their task. That's the one big challenge that you have to overcome. So what does this grift look like?
I feel like there's, I feel like they're normally used for like food waste, but like those tall carts that with like a bunch of different rungs where you would essentially like put your, I'm thinking of like the cafeteria in like a Korean bathhouse.
Yeah.
That will, like you could just put your.
It's a like a cart with a bunch of slots in it.
Yeah, bunch of slots. It's that, but we're using it to transport the ready to be eaten flatbreads. I imagine like all four of us have our own cart, and the goal would then be to like take the cart and be as obnoxious as possible to the one guard and like either box them out by way of like putting the carts in such a way when everyone goes and flocks to it to get it, there's like a wall of people and then we can slip in.
Yeah. I also imagine as to make it as ineffectual as possible, the toppings are not on the flatbread. The toppings are a separate cart.
Yeah.
You have to make your own. You have to like go through and be like, I want some of this. Yeah. I'll put some of this on it, some of this as well. And then just eat it like that. So it's like flatbread, but also tacos, but also
yes,
it's just there's so many parts to it.
I like the idea that it is the ingredients are compartmentalized, almost like mid thought of putting together like a full taco, where it's like in terms of the flatbread, like you've got like your butter over here, but then if you want to melt the butter, it's at a different station. So it's
a warming station.
A ton of crosswalking. And it's like just, I think if you're familiar with the flatbreads, you're like, man, organization of the flatbreads today is kind of bad. Yeah. But for our purposes, it's just like a web of people that is just always in motion, trying to, yeah. Yeah.
It's completely ineffective.
Yeah.
Which allows a lot of people crossing back and forth, a lot of confusion, a lot of being like, well, we should definitely put like, well, the veggies are here and the meat are over there.
Yes.
And like, and then we have these toppings over here and the paste, they're like the curry paste and things, those are over there. And so we're going to make it chaotic.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. the situation that we have here, y'all are rolling up and you basically just start deploying your stations as quickly as possible. What's going on?
I think it is a we roll up.
Flatbread party!
Yeah, it's that. Flatbread!
Flatbread party! Get your flatbread! It's
flatted
free.
Bread! Oh, come sup upon the flatted breads.
Hey, go tell everyone! There's a flatbread party going on!
And I think, like, kind of immediately, the salaried employee on shift comes over and goes, whoa, what's going on here?
It's a flatbread party, sir. We were allowed to have one. You didn't get the memo?
I did not get the memo.
You didn't? Oh, shit. You're supposed to get that memo. If you didn't get, you're going to be in trouble if you didn't get that memo. Hold on.
Love this gambit. Love this gambit.
You're good. If you don't know this, you're fucked.
You're fucked, man.
All right. This is definitely going to be presence based. What's your base presence?
Bayless? My base is just a D8. I will spend one to upgrade.
D12
and a
there.
D12.
All right.
Can I use relationships with Jonet? And
yeah, I think it'll be probably relationship with your community here, which I'm representing as a positive unstable die. Got that. And rolling. I have a wash with an intensify. So okay. Your relationship to your community is growing even closer.
Well, yeah, I think in this moment where he's like, you didn't get that memo? We might not have this flatbread party. And people are like, what? What?
People who have already started hanging over to the station.
What do you mean we can't have a flatbread party?
Yeah, what do you mean we can't have this flatbread party?
Whoa!
Hey.
That's great. Stoking them up. And what I draw is the newborn. The newborn is beginnings, responsibility, and potential. I kind of think this guy is like, look. I'm not saying that we can't do the party. We're just in the middle of harvesting right here. So we need to make sure that nothing goes off while people are eating.
Well, yeah. That's why we're doing it over here. We're far enough away. People can come over and eat. That's fine.
Right. Guy, I understand that we're creating some distance here, but we need to make sure that at least somebody is monitoring the fungus to make sure that it doesn't pop.
Oh, fine.
Eating.
You know what? I'll do it.
Yes. All right. Jeez.
You know what? Fine. You know what? It's great. And we see Bayless go over, like, take his little flatbread party hat off, throw it down, and go, like, gear up to be the guy to go and wait. To go and, like, look.
And then I think as Bayless is doing that, Jonet is, like, very close to the Red Feather employee. And he's just kind of, like, kind of making a meal out of, like, looking at Bayless. He's like,
I know, man. It's okay. It's fine.
No, it's just, like, we're doing this for them. And it's, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Like some guy who's got his mouth full of, like, yeah, thank you. That's a real great guy for doing this. Thanks. Yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
No. It's like, you shouldn't have to do this by yourself. I'm going to go in too.
All right. Yeah. I guess with two, it's fine. Everybody just hurry up and enjoy your flatbread. This guy is kind of helpless, like, because, again, the dynamic of the situation is clear here. You've got enough people who want something. This person kind of doesn't have the power to say no to this group of people. He could mark people down. He could mark against their sentences and whatnot. But he has to be here to work with them the next day.
Yeah.
You know, these are all problems that will come back to him. So. At the end of the day, as long as there is no actual danger of the Grosova going off, he's lets people to their business on this. And Jonet and Bayless, you successfully, if tentatively, like, have the ability to go over and investigate this Grosova.
So I guess we like suit up to get like close to it. Is that the idea?
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. It's throwing on hoods. It's making sure that like you have the heavy duty gloves and whatnot, because you are essentially wearing the uniform of people who would be collectors. You are making sure that you are looking at every berry, because if one is getting too ripe and actually starts to puff out, it is a serious hazard for everybody.
Is there anything to like... Do workers here, do they share equipment, or do they have their own dedicated equipment and it's like equipment can't really or shouldn't swap owners? Because my thought is like, oh, if we're able to just like roll up with the flatbread stuff and then use someone else's stuff, I feel like that's another level of like, oh, that was supposed to be Kyle. Like,
yeah, yeah. I think it is, because like essentially, because everything is about working in shifts and moving in and out and not overexposing, probably there are a lot of work clothes that are brought out to site. There are a few people on collection duty. There are a few people on like spotting duty. And there are a few people like sealing things up and preparing them to move off and whatnot. Everything is moving in different shifts because they don't want to overexpose any individual worker, because they only have so many people working on the project. So yeah, you are able to just grab like the overt safety gear and move up to these plants to really like investigate them for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like walking up to like a cultivated Grisova like farm, what are we seeing?
Are we in one of the old ones, or are we in one of the new ones?
So this is a new one. Yeah. Like the whole point was this is a new one, because you are kind of investigating what makes this new thing different, because this is something that the Red Feathers have set up themselves. Mm. And what you find is it is like, I guess we haven't really described Grisova before. I think it branches out a little bit like a moss, but it builds up to these like lumps that have what look like flowering berries coming off of them. They will unfold into these like, I want to say like marble sized berries. And they start out as like this very like kind of bright and wet looking pink, and sort of grow to a deep crimson and eventually like a maroonish red. And at the point they hit maroonish red, they appear very dried out and they look like almost puffball mushrooms, because those are different. But there are sporing mushrooms that have like this little balloon that like spits out spores. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of their final form. They like wrinkle up like a raisin and shoot those spores out all over the area. But it is like this small place. I think it is mostly like kind of a darkish green, and it makes the red really, really noticeable. And what you see is a bunch of these small berries dotted around the plant at like various stages of maturation. As far as like the area itself, it is not super clear how these things are growing. It looks like it is just a plant that is growing along the ground. Jonnet knows that it has something to do with burial sites, but you wouldn't know that just by looking at this.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything to like where the concentrations of like Grisova are? Like, are they on stumps? Are they on like just straight up on the ground mounds?
I think they're patches of dirt. They're they're like mounds upon the ground itself. And I think you're right. Like, it is a couple different mounds within an area.
Yeah.
There doesn't appear to be like a definitive pattern to it. It is whatever is growing out of this space. And without magic, like the things that you can evaluate is like, okay, there are these clusters of it around. But there's not much more that you'd be able to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, just starting off, John, it's going to, like, lean to Bayless. Like, I know this isn't necessarily, like, your department, but do we know what's underneath this Grisova?
Well, I don't, actually. I mean, everyone does a little harvesting. You learn every job, basically, just mm-hmm. in case, right? Like, eventually I ended up in the factory, but, like, I've been in here. I've worked harvesting a little bit. Usually, I mean, like, go over to, like, it's a mound, right, you said?
Yeah, I think they're, like, little mounds.
And, like, go over to one of the mounds, and he, like, points out the different stages. And I think that there's a couple of different mounds that are in different stages mm-hmm. of it. And we actually see, I think we see him go over and, with pruning shears, like, clip off the ones that are, like, that are close yeah. to, like, going off. And he has, like, a basket that he, like, puts those in. And he goes, but, I mean, you were telling me they're burial mounds? So are there people under these?
That's what I'm asking you. Let's
dig then.
I think on Let's Dig, John, it kind of just like gives a nod and turns to a mound and just like gives the ground like a little kick and like with the intent of just like parting. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you trying to dig into these mounds? Is that what I'm?
Yeah. I think it's like.
John is best friends. Are we best friends now?
I think we're coming up on it. We've had a full arc. It's been a day.
So are you trying to do this without being noticed? Is that the question?
I guess I don't.
Because it depends on like what Jonnet is looking for. Jonnet is essentially looking for a way to shut down this garden.
Yeah, and I think doing that by way of like
figuring out what's going on underneath here.
Yeah, what is underneath this particular one? Extrapolating is like, all right, if there is a body in this, then the goal will be to remove the bodies from the mounds. But this one
is... at the very least, remove the villainous intent, like the murderous intent from them, because obviously that's what's going on here, unless they have different intent. And that's another thing that maybe, who knows?
Or even just like putting more distance between the body and the Grisova so they can't reach it.
Because we got to figure out like, what's the process here?
Yeah.
And once we figure out the process, we can figure out the link in the chain to break the whole process.
So the goal is to just like unearth this one mound and start from there.
All right. If you want to do it quickly, I think it would be prowess based, is like your raw strength trying to dig things up as quickly as possible. If you're trying to do this without being noticed, I think that is a finesse check of you know, trying to dig, but obviously taking a little bit longer and not be noticed by, you know, the guard or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to go finesse. And
so, Jonnet, what's your base finesse?
12, which is going to be 3d8s.
And that's at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So
add a positive unstable to that because you're going to be working with Bayless.
Positive. Unstable. There we go.
And I'll keep this at the same. It's hard with one high stakes die because you're up. Well, actually, you know what? This is probably two low stakes dice because you're not really in a situation where guns are involved or anything yet. All right. I got one failure on mine.
And I got three successes and two opportunities.
There you go. And Blam. One.
Okay, so we are rolling of the finesse. We just came out with a bunch of successes.
Three successes, two opportunities against.
So one net success, two opportunities. You are definitely able to not only do this subtly, but dig up and into this mound quickly, which I think is very important. The flatbread party is still going on, still going strong. The nightmare configuration that you managed to set up the tables with makes it so that it really is a prolonged process and people aren't fully noticing how dragged out it is.
And I feel like this is probably around the time when we have planned that Nodos introduces a dessert flatbread.
People are fucking crazy.
Yeah. Truly. Cinnamon sugar? Whoa!
On my birthday? The cinnamon's on this table, the sugar's on this table, the butter's on the other side. It's not melted, though. The melting station's over here.
Yeah. And all of this has to be set up far enough away from where you are working because they don't want a risk of contamination. So, like, you do have, like, this private area, but you dig into the mound. And it's, like, fairly deep into the mound. Luckily, like, the earth around this is loose. I think, you know, Jonnet's got his earth magic, too. So, like, maybe that's factoring into things a little bit. But things come away, and you do reach a body. Hey, heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Folks, I have great news. I'm sure so many of you already know, but tomorrow, Thursday, July 10th, will be the premiere of Courier's Call Season 3. There's been a long and wild road getting here. Everybody on the Courier's Call team has worked so hard on this new season. In fact, we were preparing for this one before we even hit launch on that Kickstarter. However, there was a truly terrible audio error that made it so that Aaron had to redub over all of his lines. It was an exhausting problem to solve. And I want to acknowledge that Allie Grauer pulled through and, by listening to faint hints of a recording that managed to get picked up by Drew's microphone, she was able to transcribe every line that Aaron said, allowing him to record all of those pickups, which she then slotted into the show. We wanted to launch so much sooner, but it really was a lot of work. So as you enjoy the first episode of Season 3, I want to encourage everybody to go out and thank Allie for all of her hard work. She truly deserves extra thanks. Season 3 is happening thanks to the support of our audience. But in many ways, it's also happening because Allie went in the extra mile, and Aaron too. So everyone watch your favorite podcast apps for tomorrow when that first episode goes live. I also want to say that Sky Joust is on a brief hiatus right now. We are about to head into the PvP episodes of Sky Joust. I'm really excited to air these because this was the point of the experiment of the whole series. At this point, we aired the individual matches for every team in the Sky Joust series. You can head over to the Sky Joust feed and catch up on those right now. Because coming in a few weeks, we are going to be launching the PvP episodes where we pit those teams against each other and let some win and others lose. It's going to be dramatic, it's going to be tense, and it's going to be so exciting. Finally, I want to take a moment to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon. Folks, we were able to produce all of these wonderful shows thanks to listeners like you. If you enjoy this show, if you want to keep it in the air, then please head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support us. We'll keep turning those dollars into beautiful stories. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky. And you do reach a body. And there's a lot about it that's weird. This is essentially like what looks like a mummified body. It looks that weird mix of like freshly dead to also obviously this person has been dead for a long time, at least as long as this site has been set up. And oh gosh, I am going to say that Bayless, this is somebody who you knew but lost contact with months ago. This is somebody, like, I think one of the few people that you know who became a Sereno. So
oh, fuck Kevin.
There, his crimson had like really advanced like so super fast and couldn't deal with it and kept getting in greater and greater debt using the baths that the church set up to the point where he's like, there's nothing left for me. I have to be a Sereno because I'm just going to keep adding debt. I'm not pulling away from it at all. And Sereno is like a really tough thing to do. You definitely separate yourself from your social circles. You commit to this life, and in exchange you get church treatments for free, but obviously they can't fully save you. And that is what like becomes apparent. Like, you lost contact with Kevin and you didn't know what happened to him, and apparently it was this.
Holy shit. That's Kevin. I know him.
Did he do something wrong?
No, he became a Sereno.
Wait, so I thought that the whole point of the Serenos was to, like, ease the suffering.
Well, he's not feeling it anymore.
Yeah, but look, I...
Are we seeing a lot of, like, Sling God Church iconography around him, too?
I think perhaps a little bit. Like, definitely the way the body was prepared with like a
like, is he in Sereno robes or is he just mummified?
I think like it's not like robes or anything. Again, Sereno, it's like you're covered in church iconography in life, but it is also like kind of a very modest lifestyle. Okay. So you are not, it's not like you're covered in gold and filigree and whatnot.
Is it just a body then?
It is mostly just a body. I'm going to say modestly wrapped and like looks a little desiccated, and pale. But you know, this is a person that like, again, this, they haven't rotted. Like, you can see that there are signs that Grosova is like literally growing on this person. I think for most like fungal colonies or whatnot, the strands that connect them to like their base are pretty thin. So you might not be able to evaluate that with eyes, but like there's probably enough sign that like, yes, there is definitely Grosova colonies like within this body. Like growing out of this body.
I don't know why this terrifies me, but the idea that slain people buried in a slain god burial plot are choking themselves.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Oh. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, like, and like to see that and be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And be like,
striking.
Yeah, that's Kevin. That's absolutely Kevin.
So, oh, maybe the signs that I think probably around the eyes and mouth, there is like a deep crimson hue to the skin, and like, you know, it can't be blood because this person has clearly been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh fuck. Okay.
So wait. So that means, and then Jonnet kind of takes in the root, the area around them. It's like, these are, if this holds true, then that means that all of these people are just folks that have succumbed to the crimson.
So they're an invested interest to have us keep getting crimson.
Yay.
The camera pans back to see like the whole cavern and where all the mounds are.
Ugh. But have you ever seen someone from this organization find a new Grosova like farm? Did y'all plant these? Did you discover them?
Okay, so from orientation, they take you through everything. They give you like a brief kind of like history about it. And basically, from what I remember of my orientation, we found these groves, right? And but these are new, which means crimson is us. We are the crimson.
Yeah.
We are the dye.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, we are the dye. Oh! okay. They're literally wearing the blood.
The blood of the people they stepped servants. on.
Ah!
John,
This is so freaking messed up. Come on, back up.
Okay. So then, it's like, all right, we know what it is. We've got to get. How do we disengage the crimson from either the bodies?
Well, you're the seer. You look.
Yeah,
see if you can.
I know. I'm planting. I'm thinking about it now. So when I look at it later, it'll hopefully come clear.
Okay. So we know it's what? Murderous intent inside the body. So obviously Kevin had murderous intent? Like what?
Well, I mean, if he joins up with an organization that's supposed to ease the suffering and the suffering doesn't ease, I feel like no matter what, you're going to feel a type of way.
Oh, fuck. Again, that's why there's no incentive. There's no incentive to actually fix the problem. There's only incentive to make the problem worse.
So then
that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's layered.
I mean, we could burn it. We could just burn it.
But if we can't, if we start burning these bodies in mass, there's no way that we could do that under the radar.
No, I guess you're right. We can't. And we have no idea about, you know, do we even know what happens when you burn this stuff?
I mean, it goes into the air, which crimson in your lungs? No.
Bad.
No.
Okay, so fire. No.
All right, so then I guess Jonnet is going to.
I mean, vinegar? Vinegar kills mold, right?
How am I going to get vinegar and, well.
Wait a second. And Bayless gets up and he's like, do whatever you need to do here. Yeah. I'm going to go back. There is vinegar. There's at the party.
Yeah.
So he does go back and like, he goes as close as he can. He's like, Charlene.
Well, you've got conspirators because Wendell is running a table.
Yeah.
And, or not Wendell. Nodos and Jane are running tables.
Big guy.
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
Yes. Yeah. Hand me that malt vinegar.
He hands it to you. He's like, this is normal. Like,
thank you. Keep going.
You're being weird about this.
I'm not being weird about this. And he like runs back. He's like, okay. And we're looking at Kevin and he just dumps the whole thing on Kevin.
All right. I think this is a roll. I feel like this is intellect based. I mean, it's going to be Bayless's role here. So, you know, I guess we're just starting with the D8.
With a D8. And I will. I gotta do it. I'm just gonna burn it because I need to know if this works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's burn two to give myself another a D6.
Okay.
Excellent. So a D8 and a D6.
D8 and a D6.
All right. And these are
in, and I need to decide D8. If this is high stakes or low stakes. I'm gonna say,
can I add a relationship to any of this?
Yeah, you know what? We'll say unstable positive. This is going to be your relationship once again to your community.
Excellent. Unstable positive. Anything else? Nope. I'm going to roll. It's three successes in an entangle.
Wow. Lucky roll.
Yeah, that's super lucky. I was like, this is not going to go.
I only rolled a, whatchamacallit? Gotta remember the name of all of the things in this. A complication. So you said three successes and
clean. And an entanglement with
entanglement.
My
okay. So this is, I think, like as you are going over this, like you're kind of grieving Kevin.
Yeah.
All over again. Cause like, you know, he slowly fell out of touch. Like Sereno, he decides to become a Sereno, and even before he decides to become a Sereno, his pain is getting so bad that he's just pulling back from everything. So the transition from that to being a Sereno, where very quickly he's getting wrapped up in more and more Sereno stuff, to the point where it seems like, well, he must only be talking to other Sereno. he just disappears from your life.
And we were all like, yeah, I hope he's happy.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, God, well, at least wherever he is, he's not dealing with the pain anymore.
Yeah, at least, you know, he's at least getting it taken care of. Good for him.
And he eventually gets assigned to a different shift. So he is like fully disappeared from your life. And like you realize now, you have no idea when this man died. And thinking of like whatever treatments he got as a Sereno, the general knowledge is that the baths slow the spread of crimson.
I mean, Bayless does the baths. That's
he must have died of like looking at him like he probably died of crimson. You don't see what else could have killed him. So you're just treating this man, and I think it is solidifying like how much you need to invest in the people around you, how like the forces that are supposed to be looking out for them, that are supposed to be helping them, making their lives more comfortable, giving people the ability to live, like just aren't doing that. The only people who look out for each other are people within this community, and everybody's just so hurt and pushed together that all they can do is ease suffering instead of stand up for each other.
It's really easy for the establishment to give a pretty and comfortable lie to us.
It's like, that's what you want to, and something that is so uncomfortable. It's like, give me something to ease my mind. And like, yeah, sure,
yeah,
done.
Yeah, sure, you bet. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. Feel better about it? Good.
And I think the vinegar works. So you have a solution of, at least for separating the Grosova, you know, plant from the body of the people that it's grown out of, you can bathe them in vinegar. I think as you do, you were so overtly successful, you can even see like the red around the eyes and mouth like start to fade away. It is that effective at killing whatever this fungus is.
Holy shit. Like literally Bill's like, holy shit, does the whole mound kind of like crumble and die? Is it
not quite? I think you've separated it from its root source. Yeah. That doesn't mean that the fungus is gone away. Like fungus is just the fruiting body of a larger plant. And, you know, if you cut a flower away from its plant, it's not like it stops pollinating.
Yeah.
It'll live until it, you know, can't get water anymore or whatever.
So but we've like, cut it from its food source, yeah, basically. Yeah. Okay. So this works. Vinegar works. Does it work on my crimson? Like he like gets a little bit and he's
that's not treating it at all.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, and the difference there is the crimson is really an effect that like the toxin or curse carried within the Grosova can inflict on somebody. It is not necessarily the fungus actually fruiting inside you.
Okay. That would have been too easy. I get that. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. So what? We flood these places with vinegar?
Or we give orders to the Tempest or the folks that are coming in here to do this at scale with funnels in my head it's something to jam into the dirt, a pipe, yeah, and then pour in the vinegar and then go, and then you just do that rapid fire,
which means in a couple of days maybe this will all die. And they'll wonder why.
Right.
At that point.
You then cover it up, you cover your tracks, and then you just wait.
And then the production will begin to slow down.
Yeah.
Which means they will then have to ramp up the production, which will show cracks on how they're doing it. Because they have to do it quicker now. Which means we can figure out where they're doing this.
Yeah, because that's another thing of, and I don't know if this is something that we can really try to solve, but I feel like
fixing the problem will fix this.
Yeah.
But if need be,
if we need to like help these people and we can figure out where they are by, what am I saying? Bayless is like, okay. So when the things die, they'll have to ramp up production. If they all die simultaneously, that's a big problem. They will up the production of bodies in a bigger way, which will show cracks because they're going faster, which means we will be able to see the cracks in the machine, basically.
And what's Serrano?
Serrano.
Yeah. If for all of a sudden the Serrano start recruiting, that I feel like that would be
that's
such a
that's a big shift.
Yeah. And people start to get a little hesitant, and then that paves the way for
Tempest Armada to show up and for us to do what we need to do. Also, I know this now. I can start telling people about this. Wait, is there anything on Kevin that is like a ring or like a necklace or something that's like...
I think unfortunately not. And I think that is a factor of being a Serrano. It is so much is stripped away or sacrificed by the Serrano. I think right now, Bayless, you are kind of understanding how little you know about the way Serrano within your community live their lives. Once people become Serrano, they start to distance themselves and then slowly just stop talking to other people. They spend a lot more time praying. They only are around each other. And even the times, like you're thinking now, the times that you've seen Serrano around each other, they're not talking. The only time you hear their voices at all are when they are moving together and chanting a prayer.
There's my question then becomes like, who is the most like well like visible of the Serrano? Because I'm like, you probably need to have folks that are like, I'm Serrano and I've been Serrano for a long time, so don't worry, we're good. And then the people in the middle of it's like freshly made Serrano, you see them as they're fading away.
Tyler, I think you're totally right. For a normal cult, that is exactly how things would go down. But this isn't a normal cult. This is a medical treatment that the church can offer to you. And they say, well, we can give this to you for free if you join our order. And eventually people get desperate enough to the point where they're like, I don't have another choice. I'm going in for this. And when they do, you stop hearing from them. So they are not like trying to conscript people, trying to say like, hey, this is a great lifestyle or whatever. It's people don't have a choice when they come to them.
It's when they start doing the like, hey, it's a great lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's when we know something is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a pipe. It's a funnel. It's a shit ton of vinegar.
It's a lot of vinegar.
A lot of vinegar.
That should be another favor that we ask for.
Just a shit ton of vinegar.
A lot of vinegar. Yeah. One of the ships that comes in has a entire hull full of vinegar.
Okay. And we can do that. Okay. Cover him up.
Yeah. And I think Jonnet sort of does a bit where like he like carefully like closes his hands back and you see the earth kind of like
folds itself.
Yeah. Back over
Kevin, his hands around his own neck.
That is still,
I love that image. That's so good.
Because in my head, it's like, it may be like when you do die and you're part of like the church, like it is like a like folded hands over your neck and your face is stoic and like closed and like everything is tight. But in my brain, the growing of the fungus probably has pushed his mouth open. So he's kind of like holding his throat and also mouth fully open. Like he's kind of
like, I think
screaming.
Like the fingers have like constricted too. So it is just like,
God, it's a horrible mask. Well, yeah. I can't look at this anymore.
That's it. Yeah. We're done. Here. Done looking at it. Okay. So we've got what we need to give instructions to take out how this place operates.
Do you want us to take any of this stuff out of here?
Take any of the flatbread?
The fungus. Do you want us to like, do we want to like do more tests on it? Do we want to like figure other stuff out?
Well, you've already clipped some.
I clipped some, yeah. These particular berries. I can clip other berries.
Which
Yeah.
Which are the least infectious form of Grisova.
And he like shows you like the early stages of it. I think what Bayless then does is as we go through, we clip berries from every stage of the process.
Yeah.
And he just like has a small jar and puts that in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, we can do stuff.
Yeah. And like sort of the walking through that he does for you. I think this is even a spend to explain something is the way the Grisova works. It like starts at that pink stage, it progresses to that like kind of dark maroon stage, and in it there are spores kind of distilling. The redder and redder things get, the more dense those spores are, to the point where they eventually dry out and then hit the air. The red feathers, because they want to get the maximum amount of dye out of each individual berry, they're waiting until it is just before all that liquid is gone, because that liquid holds it in and makes it easier for them to distill this. So they are letting things go to be just before it's super dangerous and then trying to pick.
I imagine they have like some kind of like colors or color swatches, like little litmus test sheet.
I think it is literally like a strip of fabric that has been dyed, and they're just like move down like, oh yeah, this is ripe for collection.
Bet. Okay. So, I mean, I think we're done. Yeah, I think we're good. So we like join back up. Everybody has like successfully put together their cinnamon and their sugar. And
there's a happy birthday. Like,
and then it's like, happy birthday to, wait, whose birthday?
It's everybody in this month. Everybody in this month's birthday. Yeah.
And so there's like, we've probably like gotten out of the harvesting uniform and have just kind of like slid back into like the normal worker attire where we've got our carts and maybe like slide the jars into one of the trays, and it's like, all right, well, happy birthday, y'all.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Keith, you're doing great work.
Go over to the foreman and be like, hey, great job, good job, thank you.
Yeah, went smooth, no complaints here. I'm just gonna, like, now he's like going through his head, like, how did I get on the bad? I think he's been doing, how did I get on the bad side of whoever is in charge of me that they're trying to get me in trouble?
And you really need to step your game up and do better on your end. Cause like this, honestly, and I think I've this can't happen again.
It really can.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, so you know. So yeah. You know.
He is sweating.
We're looking out for you, man. Yeah. We're like, we're in this together.
You can't see his face beneath the mask, but he is pale and he is like just nodding along. Like,
Just like, make sure you check your memos a little bit more often.
Yeah. Because this is really easy to understand and be on top of, and you were not.
I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if we just didn't have this and everyone knew it was happening? Can you imagine the type of chaos that would happen on this floor if that had happened?
Buddy.
Yeah, he has bought this hook, line, and sinker, and this is a really successful operation for Hoover operations. Not much went wrong. You got in and out, got the information you needed. You know that the new gardens are built on the corpses of Serenos.
Head on out. It's like fist bump.
Hit him with the vinegar. Come on.
Vinegar. And more importantly, that vinegar is how you would cleanse the Grisova from a body, for sure. But with that, is there any more investigating you want to do? Anything more, any more information you want to get before we wrap session, I think?
You have timetables already, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We have timetables.
Got that.
So we already know about that. It's just sending that message out to the Tempest Armada to send ships.
Well, I feel like we have to get the message to the captain to then send it to the Tempest, because I feel the captain...
Theoretically, Spit said that they were going to send a message to the captain.
Okay, gotcha.
So probably right now what you'd want to do is head back to the ship. If you've got nothing else that you're going after, then I think y'all head off to wherever you stashed the birds with that you brought over, you know, the carts with and whatnot.
Bayless probably has to go to work.
I think probably at this time, Bayless is probably on shift.
Yeah, he's like, so this is a like, hey, thank you. Like, I have not felt this sort of like hope things can get better in a long, long time. And aside my friend being dead and all those things, but like,
yeah.
So thank you. It's going to work. I know it's going to work.
It's going to work. John is like, we covered a lot of ground today, and I'm sorry for misleading you earlier. You don't have to see my side of it, but I'm just sorry for feeling like I needed to do that, and doing that to you. But I'm so glad that you came around and you made this possible.
Hey, I came around because you helped me do it. And that's good. And that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It feels good to bay less.
Dang.
I think at that moment, like, Jonnet, like, just probably shakes his head, takes off on Flea, with obviously Nodos and Jane. You take off, and we can see like the Grosova garden like slowly grow smaller and smaller, as you can see like the different collection areas around the area, and you swoop over Sorrow's End, the main structures of Sorrow's End. You can see the factories, and as you look down, you can see a commotion. It looks like there are many panicked workers gathered in front of the factories. You don't know what's going on, but you can hear the emergency bells ringing throughout the town and community because something has happened. And we'll join with the rest of the party next time to see how they complicated your plan.
Yeah, okay, this was for an Uhuru plan. This was awesome. Also, it's not over.
Yep. Scotty Jacks. We join the Captain's Council of the Uhuru within the Captain Quarters of Orimar Vale.
Orimar is hunched over in this ergonomic chair that he has behind his desk, and there is clearly something in his hands that's casting a big, bright, glowing light on his face. It's making all these obscene pings and whirs and coin rattling noises, and Orimar's just, oh man, I'm going to be pulling a big one today, yes, yes.
Captain. Hey, Captain, have you seen the Kasari Gama?
Yeah, sorry, Jonnet. I've been, bad news. I ran out of bits, and I needed more for an important thing. So I had to, we'll be able to get it back.
What?
You know, it's just being held, and when I have the money, I can get it back. But I needed to pawn your Kasari Gama.
With cash. Hey, Captain, what are you playing?
Oh, it's because, oh, well, I'm playing the brand new game that everybody is into at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Red Feather Heroes. It's the brand new game. If you start now,
okay,
then you can get 15,000 pulls for free.
That's, Captain, have you slept in the past few days?
Well, it's because there was a time-limited banner, and I needed to make sure that I played the game every 30 seconds to maintain complete efficiency, but it's entirely worth it. I have all of these pictures within this little glowing slate.
Uh-huh.
It's got all these pictures of various people in skimpy clothing, and the more of them I have, the better it is. And this is the best game. I've so many people have entered into my lives. They're willing to date me now that I have all of these pictures
of
pretty anime women.
Lots of questions. What do the, after you get them, after you get these anime ladies, where, what do you do? What do they do?
Oh, so it means I can do the event.
Okay.
You know, the event?
Yeah. Tell me what the event is.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to hear that from you.
Well, it's really easy to explain the event. All you just need to do is look at
new hero unlocked, Bikini Whoa. Twink Pliff.
There we go. It's the triple SR rarity. I've been pulling on this for the, your Kasarigama has gone to a great masterwork, Jonnet. Look.
Wait a minute. You said it's gone.
You
said you I sold? Could get it back. It now seems like you may have just, it's gone.
Sold forever.
Bikini Pliff is can do so much more.
What can it do? What is the benefit of Bikini Pliff?
What happens?
Well, it has
in
a magic
event?
Power rating of 5 million, which I'm sure you understand is like the most important thing possible.
Oh no, I dropped my soup.
okay. All right. So the power level of these characters, I assume, do they go into a battle, perhaps? And have
constantly.
You gotten that far? Or are you just still collecting?
Well, I have all of them. I can send them to battles, but it does say that I need to wait 5 years for the battle to end. But it can be now, as long as I give them 3 fist-sized diamonds.
Okay.
So, do we happen to have any fist-sized diamonds available?
Hey, Captain, I'm just gonna reach over. I'm just gonna grab this little.
Gracious! Gracious!
Down! Okay,
it's mine.
All right.
Hey, okay, Jonnet. Hey, Jonnet. You talk to the captain and learn more about this.
I just tried to
event, and I'm gonna go and get more people to. Learn about this cool new game. And Gable takes off.
I unlocked the Halloween Hildred Gastar and no one else can have her.
Okay. All right. It's I think, Captain, be honest with me. Are you out of money? Did you spend all of the Uhuru's money?
It's not gone. I have just converted it in to die points, which if I have enough die points, I can convert them into griffin feathers. And then if I have enough griffin feathers, I can convert them into, what was it again? It's fine.
How many griffin feathers do you have right now? Because if the conversion ratio isn't like too bad, we could just like make that up in, I'd say, like a day or two of playing. I'm not sure.
It's fine. Yeah, I think if I get you to start playing as well, then I get a bonus pack.
And it's free to join, right?
And it's free to join. You're speaking my language, Jonnet Kessler. You know exactly what this is about.
Okay.
Not all, Jonnet. If you join now with code NOTASCAM, you'll get an additional 15,000 free draws.
What? 15,000. I mean, I'd be losing bits if I didn't get the free draws.
Exactly, Jonnet.
Okay, well then, and standard data rates do apply.
I say that's not enough. That's right, it's me, Bad Will, inventor of Red Feather Heroes. And I say we need to give everyone 30,000 free draws and 14 griffin feathers and 2 fist-sized diamonds, all for joining now with offer code It's Not a Scam. Standard messaging and data rates apply.
Gable has got Bad Will by the throat. What did I tell you? What did I tell you about developing predatory apps?
Yeah. Gable Skyjacks, please put him down. I need you to also join the battle
pass. Targeted at the over 50 population. This is the third time.
The Skyship battle
not.
Pass is absolutely essential for the operations of the Uhuru.
Bad Will, you take this out of the captain's hands. You make it disappear, okay?
Fine.
Wait. Before you get rid of it, give me 50,000 draws, and I'm just gonna draw them before you destroy the app. Okay?
No.
Gable, I'm invested. All right.
No.
I sold my bandana.
How are you liquidating money so fast? Who's buying these things?
You can do it in app.
It's impossible. Implausible. Please.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT, or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Ali Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at DreamsToBecome or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise, twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.